We're continuing the Shir in Shvuchei Haran, the life story of Rabbi Nachman. We're about to enter into one of the most important chapters in his life, which was his trip to Eretz Yisrael, which he made in the early part of his life when he was in his 20s, and it's before he met Rav Nosson Zal. Rav Nosson Zal first came to Rabbeinu Zal after Rabbeinu Zal had returned from Eretz Yisrael. So the information that we have here is what Rav Nosson Zal gleaned from people who knew Rabbi Nachman and from students that he had at that time, you know, who gave him, and from Rabbi Nachman himself, who spoke a lot about his trip to Eretz Yisrael. He definitely considered that one of the highlights of his life. So now Rav Nosson Zal begins paragraph 1 regarding the trip to Eretz Yisrael. That before Rabbeinu Zal actually embarked on the trip, he made a trip to a city called Kamenets. In Russia, they call it Kamenets Podolsk, which is approximately 450 kilometers from Medvedivka, which is where Rabbeinu Zal was living at the time. So he traveled 450 kilometers by horse and buggy to go to this city of Kamenets, which was something extraordinary, because he suddenly left his house and he said he has a trip to make. And he started heading in the direction of Mezhebuzh, which is where he had been born, the city of the Baal Shem Tov. And he said he himself does not know where his destination is. He's embarking on a trip, doesn't know exactly where the final destination is going to be. And at first he traveled to Mezhebuzh, and in Mezhebuzh he was informed from heaven that the place he needs to go to is the city of Kamenets. So he went there. Rav Nosson Zal writes that when he traveled very simple, where nobody would have any idea that he was an admor, that he was a rabbi of students, that he was a great-grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. Very, very simple, low profile. Even though at that time already, he was known. There were people that knew about him as one of the leaders of the Hasidic world. And he warned his students, those that traveled with him, to be extremely careful wherever he goes, that he does not want people to know who he is, that he's a rabbi, a teacher, but rather he traveled low profile as if he were an ordinary business person traveling on a business trip. Rabbeinu Zal arrived in Kamenets, and at the time that he went there, Jews were not allowed to live in Kamenets. They weren't allowed to spend a night in Kamenets. People who lived outside of Kamenets were allowed to come into the city during the day to conduct business, but they had to leave at night. A Jew had to leave the city of Kamenets. Rabbeinu Zal entered the city with one person. We don't know who it was. We don't know who the student was that accompanied him to the city of Kamenets. And Rabbeinu Zal instructed the person to leave the city, and that Rabbeinu Zal would stay there alone by himself overnight. He would spend the night in the city by himself. And Rabbeinu Zal said that tomorrow we'll meet up again. That tomorrow this person should come into the city of Kamenets during the day when Jews are allowed to, and they'll meet up again. Rav Nosson Zal writes, nobody knows what Rabbeinu Zal did there in the city of Kamenets that night. The following morning, this person came in and met him. And then Rabbeinu Zal went with this person into a number of different homes in Kamenets. And each place they went into, they made a contact. In some homes, they asked, Rabbeinu Zal asked, to be given a little bit of whiskey, vodka, probably the common drink that doesn't have any kashrus problems in this place. And Rabbeinu Zal writes, they were in quite a number of different homes. No one knows what Rabbeinu Zal's intention was in those places that he went to. But then afterwards, he left to go back home. And after that night that Rabbeinu Zal had spent in Kamenets, the law changed that from that point on, Jews were permitted to live in the city of Kamenets. Rabbeinu Zal said, any person who knows and understands why the land of Eretz Yisrael had to first be in the hands of the seven nations, the Knani, the Prizi, the Amor, the seven nations, before the Jews were able to enter into Eretz Yisrael officially and take it over, will understand also why I had to travel first to Kamenetz before making my trip to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Nosson Zal, in several places in Likutei Halachos, touches on this, where he discusses the why Eretz Yisrael had to be first in the hands of these seven nations before the Jews came in. One of the places is in Likutei Halachos, Yoredeya, Hilchos Mila, chapter 3. Just briefly, we know that a Jewish child born into the world, a boy, spends 7 days in the world before being circumcised. They're first circumcised on the 8th day. And Rav Nosson Zal in Likutei Halachos gives several explanations as to why that's the case. One of the explanations conforms with what we're speaking about here, that Eretz Yisrael had to first be in the hands of these seven nations before the Jewish people are there. And what Rav Nosson Zal explains is that if Eretz Yisrael, which is a holy land, it's called Arzenu HaKadosha, the holy land, if the Jewish people would have been the first ones to occupy the land of Eretz Yisrael is holy, the Jewish people are referred to as a holy nation. Hashem said at Har Sinai, V'atem tihiyu li mamleches koyanim v'goy kodesh. You will be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. If it would have happened that way, then the first transgression, the moment Chas V'Shalom we crossed any lines, any red lines, we would have been out permanently. It's only because of the fact that Hashem created the world in such a way and designed this whole process that Eretz Yisrael was able to have seven nations who are not Jewish, not religious, not observant, idol worshippers and everything, and Eretz Yisrael was able to handle that. That's what made it possible that afterwards, when they were evicted, when they left, and the Jews took over, and the Jewish people transgressed, we misbehaved, we did things that were wrong, we were punished in many times, but we were allowed to stay. We weren't evicted completely. And even when we were evicted, even when we were exiled, it didn't have to be forever, permanently. There was the opportunity to be able to come back. The concept of tshuva, the concept of the ability to repair, and this is also one of the explanations behind why a Jew, a Jewish male child born the first 7 days is without a bris milah, doesn't have the circumcision. And only on the 8th day the bris milah takes place if the child is healthy and ready for it. And the fact that the child is able to exist in the world for 7 days without this level of tikkun abris makes it so that afterwards, when the person grows up, if chas v'shalom they transgress, they commit a sin, they violate the bris kodesh, it doesn't have to be a permanent disconnect from Hashem, a total permanent disconnect from Hashem, but rather we see there is this ability to exist, for the Jewish child to exist for 7 days without a bris milah. Here again, the fact that Rabbeinu Zal went to this place, to the city of Kamenetz before, and we see he was able to transform, to make an incredible change, that a place that was allergic to Jews, in a sense, where a Jew was not permitted to spend the night there and certainly to have any permanent residence there, Rabbeinu Zal's presence there accomplished some kind of a tikkun that, number one, made it possible that that city became a place where Jews could live until today. We know that the name Kamenetz is a famous name. There's a yeshiva, one of the major yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laretz, in the United States. The Kamenetz Yeshiva has produced thousands of religious Jews, thousands of Talmidei Chachamim, and this place, Kamenetz Podolsk, is a well-known Jewish section of Russia, Ukraine at that time. Interestingly, my own rabbi, Rabbi Michal Dorfman, Zichron Avrocha, who was born in the city of Chemerovitz. Chemerovitz is part of that district, the district that's called Kamenetz Podolsk. Rabbi Nosson Zal continues again that this trip that Rabbeinu Zal made was something extraordinary. And many people tried to interpret, to give different interpretations, different reasons as to why Rabbeinu Zal made that trip. Some of the reasons they offered were positive, were complimentary, and some were the opposite. But Rav Nosson Zal writes, all of them were mistaken. All of these people were wrong. And even those who tried to offer complimentary reasons as to what Rabbeinu Zal did, all incorrect. It was not his intention at all. And even those who knew a little bit based on hints that Rabbeinu Zal had given them, they also did not know his real intention, his full intention in going there. And Rabbeinu Zal once made a comment about this, about the fact that people make mistakes. They try to understand, they try to interpret as if they know the reasons behind why he did certain things. And Rabbeinu Zal implied that they're not accurate. There were some that suggested that Rabbeinu Zal went to the city of Kamenetz there to try to find and retrieve certain writings that the Baal Shem Tov had, certain very secretive writings that the Baal Shem Tov had hidden in a rock. He had closed them up, he had sealed them in a stone using Kabbalistic powers to hide those writings from anybody. And these writings were known from a tzaddik that lived before the Baal Shem Tov. He was known as Rabbi Adam Baal Shem. Rabbi Adam Baal Shem, he had given these writings over to the Baal Shem Tov, and the Baal Shem Tov hid them away, and Rabbeinu Zal went to Kamenetz looking for those writings to try to get them. And Rabbeinu Zal laughed at this, and he said that wasn't at all any reason for his going there, because Rabbeinu Zal said he didn't need those writings. And Rabbeinu Zal said, if I would have needed them, those writings would have been brought to my home. They would have been delivered to my house. So he made it perfectly clear that that was not his reason for going to Kamenetz. Now we begin the actual trip to Eretz Yisrael. On Erev Pesach of the year 5558, Rabbeinu Zal came out of the mikveh on Erev Pesach, and he said to the person who accompanied him to the mikveh that this year, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, I am definitely going to be in Eretz Yisrael. On the holiday of Pesach, Rabbeinu Zal gave a shir, he said Torah on a pasuk in Tehillim, the pasuk where it says, Ushivilcha b'mayim rabim ve'ikvoisecha loy noido, that Hashem's path is through the great oceans, and therefore Hashem's footsteps nobody knows. Rabbeinu Zal referred to a statement in the Medrash, Medrash Rabbah, chapter 25, paragraph 13, where the Medrash speaks about this pasuk regarding the concept of a Jew achieving dveikus Hashem, a real solid connection to Hashem, and the Medrash there tells us that it's by entering in Eretz Yisrael. That's how a Jew can achieve real dveikus Hashem. The Medrash says it based on the fact that there's a pasuk in Chumash Dvorim, where the pasuk says, "Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu," that we are required to follow Hashem, "Va'osai Tiro," and Him we will respect, "Ves Mitzvosav Tishmoiru," observe His commandments, "Ubekoiloi Sishmo," listen to His words, Vo'oisoi ta'avoidu, and to serve Hashem, uvoi tidbokun, and to make a deep, solid attachment to Hashem, dveikus. So the Medrash asks, can a human being follow Hashem? How do you follow one whose footsteps are unrecognized? How do you follow one whose path is through the ocean? How do you follow one? And the Medrash quotes several other psukim. Hashem is called Eish Oichla, a destructive fire. How do you follow? How do you attach yourself to that? So the Medrash says in the end, but rather what this is referring to is that from the time of creation, what did Hashem involve himself with? Hashem involved himself in agriculture. Hashem was a fire. He planted. Hashem planted trees and more trees and everything, as the pasuk says, "Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan be'Eden mikedem." Hashem planted a garden in Eden. So too, the Medrash says, "You, the Jewish people, when you enter into Eretz Yisrael, what should you involve yourself with? With planting, as the pasuk says, 'Ki Savoyu El Haaretz.' When the Jews will come to Eretz Yisrael, they will plant and will have all the laws of Trumais and Maestrois and Orla, all the laws that apply to Jews living in the land. So the Medrash implies there that again, that if we want to follow Hashem, listen to Hashem, attach ourselves to Hashem, the way that we do that is upon arriving in Eretz Yisrael. And this was a remez that Rabbeinu Zal hinted in the Torah that he said that Pesach, that that's his destination now. His destination, his focus, is on going to Eretz Yisrael. We'll hold it over here. In the next paragraph, Rav Nosson Zal is going to address, how did his family react to this? Yitzhak Shem will take that up in the next shiur.